Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Somebody told me that you had a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend that I had in February of last year.
It's like yesterday all over again.
Oh,
the bangers continue with Tommy Wirtz here.
One.
I love it. It's the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. This is why I love the Mason and Thunder reference. Library and the research department, because
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Talking text line, the Nicolay Law fan talking text line from the 414. Comes in. Please tell Mitch and Mason the Packers only won 9 games last year. They keep referring to last season as 10 victories. I love that you keep us on our toes. Keep it going. You're absolutely right. The Packers were 9-8 last year, which I think even makes, you know, if you look at it in a vacuum, in a bubble, that's even more, I don't know if impressive is the right word.
Technically, like, they were technically 10-9. At the end.
It's a 10-win team.
Regular season 9-8, but yeah, to make a 2-game jump is even, like, you know, if we're looking at it without context, it's more impressive that they went from 9-8 to 11-6 and keep improving. Now, we don't know what that means. We would have liked to seen them get the 5 or the 6 seed in the playoffs, and so the 7th seed is going to be a big hill to try to navigate. But we appreciate the 414 for keeping us on our toes. Speaking of toes, yes. Joining us now on the Mason Crosby Show, one of the great kickers in NFL history. That lefty leg just boomed the ball all over the yard. He's David Akers. David, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me.
Hey David, it's Mason. You handling this Tennessee cold okay? Like, everything going okay over by you?
You know how it is, bro. Like, Wisconsin, Philly, this is really nothing. You know,
yeah.
We did move south for a reason, right?
You know, exactly.
We'd rather have a little bit warmer weather, but you know, obviously the big talk around here is we may get 4 to 8 whopping inches of snow this weekend. So, wow, you know, craziness. Shut down for a week.
It will shut us down for a week, no doubt. It'll be wild, but appreciate you jumping on. And, you know, I want to jump right into some conversation around, obviously, big matchup this weekend there in Philly. you know, just talk about your time there with the Eagles, and kind of, you know, as you've, you know, gone out of the league, like, I know you're still heavily involved with, you know, going back to Philly and being part of that organization. So just kind of give us some insight to your time there and, you know, how you're still involved with that Eagles organization.
Sure. So my first year with the Eagles was 99. And even back in that time frame, I had bounced around the NFL from the Panthers, the Falcons, the Redskins, and then the Eagles had me work out about, I think it was like 3 or 4 days before Christmas back in 98. And they're like, hey, man, we think you're good enough to play here, but we want you to go over in NFL Europe and kind of hone your skills.
Oh, like, NFL wow, Europe.
Yeah. So myself and, you know, Adam Vinatieri and those guys, and that was one of the times where you thought that, hey, I've arrived, I'm playing at the next level, and then you realize once you do make it in the NFL that there was a significant gap between the collegiate game, you know, NFL Europe and the NFL. But I was very thankful for my time over there. I played over in Berlin. It was the first year there. Came back to the States, and I had kind of I got really sick over there, had seminal food poisoning, was hospitalized and quarantined for a week, lost 33 pounds in a couple of days. It was crazy,
what?
Man. Yeah, it was nuts. So I did that the night before the second to last game of the season, came in to camp with the Eagles and was really kind of malnourished and not really ready physically.
33 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, it was an ordeal for sure. But the biggest thing was, you know, back in the day, we were kicking off from the 30. We really weren't able to do anything to the balls after they kind of changed the rule going into that 99 season. They were brand new out of the box. And so they allowed me to stay around to be a kickoff specialist and long field goal guy. They had a guy named Norm Johnson who'd played 17 years in the league up to that point. And, you know, for myself, it was a great way to kind of break into the league. And there were a few other guys in a few years stint there that they allowed to kind of be kickoff guys. You had guys like Wade Ritchie who kind of did both for a little bit. You know, Danny Kite was another one. I think Olden Kimmeren maybe was a guy that was able to play for a little bit. I know there are a few other ones in there that I'm probably, you know, missing out on. But back in the day, it was a little different. And then, of course, the practice squad was significantly smaller. So there just really weren't a lot of opportunities. And, you know, still like today, you're not going to have usually two kickers on
so
the
that
active
was unique.
Roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Andy Reid, that was his rookie year as a head coach, brought me in. Gave me the chance and was able to learn under John Harbaugh. That was, we kind of came up through the ranks together. He was my position coach for 8 years.
Jeez,
and
what a, yeah.
Obviously, yeah, he's gone on to do some pretty decent things there in the Ravens. But yeah, so played 12 years with the Birds, 2 years with the Niners, and finished up in Detroit. So,
well, so
that's me in a nutshell.
We had Ryan Longwell on yesterday, so I'm just diving into
kicker
relationships.
Kicker.
Yeah, and like you know, talk to him about, and he brought up a game, and we're only going to let you talk about this for a second because this is a Wisconsin based local show there in Milwaukee, and but he referenced the 4th and 26 playoff game where you kicked a game tying and a game winning field goal in that game. Just run us through kind of your side of that, and kind of since this game, you know,
but
was a playoff game. Playing in Philly, like tell your view of, like, you know, the Philly fan base and what it's like playing in that stadium as well, as you tell us a little bit about your experience in that game.
Sure. So first off, the way playing in Philly for me was a blessing. I know everybody that has long careers in their places probably have similar stories, but Philly's unique because if you can kind of have the blue collar mentality and you give it your all, they really support you. It's a big time city. It's, you know, I think the fifth largest market out there, but at the same time has a small town feel in it. And it's really odd how much the vibe of the city,
especially
is surrounded
around
by
their teams, right?
Like exactly.
Just
the Birds win. The vibe of the city is significantly different. Okay.
Yeah.
So going to that game, matter of fact, I missed a field goal earlier in the game. We had a south wind coming in, and if you obviously played in that stadium in back of when it first was opened up, there was more opening in the south end zone and the north. You had one opening in the south, two in the north, And so if you had a south wind in the winter, it would come in and bounce off the visitor side, go out the north.
David, but they don't build these stadiums with kickers in mind, do they? Like some of these stadiums, it's just like, whoa, what is the thought process on like wind patterns and like just how they're building this?
Kickers are people too, man.
Yeah, consider us a little bit, you know?
Well, yeah, especially you don't want to, you know, handicap your team, right? Especially if you're going to play there several times in a season. So all that being said, I missed this kick and just kind of give you the vibe. I walk over to the sideline and, you know, I actually, as a left-footed guy, left hash, relatively short field goal, like 31, 32 yards, should have been. And it went up and my ball should go up and kind of turn over left to right, nice and easy, right in, no worries. That thing went up and took a hard left turn. And I was like, what in the world? And what happens is it's just kind of like walking between two skyscrapers and you're down in that area. It was just hauling.
Yeah.
So I get over to the sideline and this kid's like, Akers. I look over and this kid's 9, 10 years. Get your head out of your ass.
Your own fan, right? The Eagles fans.
There you go. Hey, you know, dial it in here, kid. So obviously we get to the, towards the end of the game and we're down by 3 and here I am thinking, man, that shorter field goal I miss is going to be a disaster for me personally, right? And obviously, we get the 4th and 26. We go down. We have a last-second field goal to tie the game. Now, when I came back at halftime, I did some adjustment to try to see how much that wind was really moving the ball. And to get into a little bit of dynamics of kicking and holding, usually the kicker likes the ball held a little bit to the holder, just a slight tilt to the holder, maybe a little bit straight up and down. But I like mine with a slight tilt. Now, as a lefty, generally my ball would go left to right a little bit if it's straight up and down. Well, the wind was going right to left. So you're thinking, my gosh, if I have it tilted a little bit to the holder, it's really not going to do much at all. And it'll probably go with the wind even more.
It's going to move, yeah.
Even to the point where I had to have my holder have the ball leaning as a right-footed guy, and I aimed outside of the right upright for the game-winning kick.
Wow.
And if it would have been
just
a normal
pull it right into it.
Yeah, and it still slid over to the left third of the upright. And so aimed right, had to lean as if it would hook right, and then still caught the win and go in. And so that set us up for overtime. And then obviously the legend of Green Bay and great dude has always been awesome to me with Brett Favre. You know, he threw us up a great ball to B Doc. And
he did.
I guess
the
rest is history.
I could have thrown that ball straight up.
You're killing. You're killing. Yeah, Mitch, you know, the co-host, and Tommy in there. Tommy, were you born when this game was happening?
I was alive for this game. Yes, yeah. I can remember when
Freddie Mitchell in his bow tie.
Yep, I can remember.
It stings.
He wants to thank his hands, right?
It really set me up for me always getting David Akers in Madden every year in whatever team that I was on.
Nice,
the big hit. And
makes
so
me feel nice and old.
So you know, Tommy,
you were alive. That's great. We got that figured out.
Yeah, he makes us feel like that every day, David. Don't worry about it.
That's right. So, David, I want to talk about one other, like one thing, in regards to records and Green Bay records. And so we had Longwell on, and Tommy the Troll, our producer, likes, you know, he likes to get after me a little bit or like kind of set some things up. So he gets on Wikipedia and he looks and he's like, Longwell, did you know like you're second to everything to Mason, like in just kind of setting this whole thing up? So I started thinking, and then whenever you said you'd come on, I'm like, okay, David actually holds a record in Lambeau that I do not have. And do you remember that moment and what that is? And you tell the people like what your record in Lambeau is, you know, over me there.
Sure. So I was playing with the Niners and it was the 2012 season opening day, right? I wish this I could say that this was on the frozen tundra, right? And
it was nicer
late
weather
in the year, but it was a beautiful day. I was the Niners right before halftime. It looked like we had an opportunity to kick a 63-yarder, and we get that chance. I go out there, and for you golfers out there, now I used to play a decent amount of golf, and I got into water skiing. That's a whole different story, but I gave up my golf game.
I heard water skiing.
Did you hear him? Water yeah. skiing. Water's that was right. good. That'll be no. my next question. We'll talk about that next. Keep on this.
Yeah.
Okay, so here I am talking to myself. You know, I'm almost 38 years of age. Never have had this opportunity to try to tie the NFL record. And so the first thing I wanted to do was not to overswing. Don't just, you know, think you're on the golf course right now and you're going to pull hook this thing into the left fairway, right? So that's what I was like. You got to give yourself a chance. And as soon as I hit the ball, I was like, you idiot. You didn't hit it hard enough.
You underswung.
And so, oh, absolutely. I was like, why in the world? You get this chance. And then I see the ball's kind of traveling. It's getting. And then, obviously, you got Randall Cobb back there trying to kind of goaltend it on me a little bit. But, and you know, bounces. And let me just tell you, in my career, the poles have hated me. So they usually make that loud clang and comes flying back on the field. But that thing hit and bounced in, and I was just uber surprised. I never thought the thing would bounce in. And it just shows you that I will say this. For many years, kicking an NFL ball that was not scrubbed in or any of that, there was no chance we would have had to make – you know, to make that kick.
Yeah.
Since they allowed guys, thanks to Tony Romo, and another great dude, but him dropping the
field goal
for Martin Gramatica against the Seahawks really helped us kickers out, and then today's kickers so much further. The way the ball travels, it's like playing in Denver in 85 degree weather with these balls all the time, Alan. Now, I'm not trying to be like, hey, that's just the way, you know, it was. I got to play a little bit of both eras, and it was significantly easier to kick longer field goals. So
that's a great take.
I say thank
that's
you.
Good info.
But yeah,
I
so man, I had a great day. I went 3 for 3, and then to be honest, the rest of the year was kind of crap. I fell. It kind of was the end of my career. To be honest with you, I had come off sports hernia surgery that year. That was my first regular season game back. I actually kind of re-injured myself about 4 or 5 weeks later, and then had a couple surgeries after that season. So from my last Pro Bowl to my last game, I had 3 surgeries. It was a 16-month period of surgeries.
Brutal.
And from that last Pro Bowl game to my last game in the NFL was 22 months. So it's funny. You can be your top, and then you can be out of the league in a minute. But I appreciate it and have gratitude for every day I had.
Well, honestly, yeah, I was so impressed when you hit that. You know, obviously, it's like, gosh, yeah, I wish I would have ever had an opportunity to hit, you know, a kick like that in Lambeau. But they must grease that goalpost there on that north side, because I had one in my last season in Green Bay in 22, a 56-yarder. It was the second to last game of the season, and I banked it off of that crossbar and made one. So they
you
must
call the shot though.
They must just, yeah, grease it a little bit, you know. I didn't call the bank. So, you know, I'm glad they still counted it for us.
Of course, man. An inch is a mile, right? I don't care
if you
hit that thing into the stands, and it would have been great. If it was outside those poles, it doesn't matter. An inch is a mile. It counts in the books, brother. That's the way I'm looking and holding up.
Exactly. And I'm a big Brandon Aubrey fan. Like, I love what he's doing in his leg. But, like, you know, again, he hit a 61-yarder. It hit halfway up the uprights, but it didn't go in. So it's, like, impressive. But, you know, you get it. It's like the bounce, all that. It's like all that matters, right, is that the ball goes through the uprights. So I want to talk about that reference you made to, you know, water skiing. I know you're a huge water ski guy. Like, you do the slalom, right? And you race and you compete. My question on the side of that, though, do you call skiing in the mountains snow skiing, or do you just call it skiing as well? Do you identify them both as snow skiing and water skiing? Do you actually make sure you identify them out?
Yeah, I think you have to identify them out, because a lot of times I say I'm a skier, and they're like, well, okay. And I said, I'm going to Florida. And they're like, Florida, the ski? I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going in the wintertime. Everybody goes out to Colorado and Utah.
Too confusing,
and
guys.
Right, because it's not confusing at all, because
it's
everybody understands that skiing is in the snow.
I don't think that argument helped you guys.
Right,
like
that,
you
was like,
it was.
That was like, yes, you're
it
right,
did.
Skiing
it just,
does
it just
not
adds,
go to Florida.
It, no,
right.
it just adds
that doesn't
a
make
layer
any sense.
Of conversation where you could just simplify and say, I'm snow skiing or I'm water skiing. And David's from Kentucky, so he went to Louisville. Did you grow up in Lexington? Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, he's down here in the, you know, in the South. And so, you know,
Bourbon Trail, baby. Let's go.
They like to be, you know, they're just thoughtful and they want to, you know, make sure that they, you know, they identify it out for you where it's like, I'm going snow skiing or I'm going water skiing. You know, we'll just let everybody
said
know.
No one ever.
Everyone. All right. I think Tommy, our producer, might have a question for you.
Yes, David, I just have some sound I want you to react to, and just, I don't know if you remember these at all, but just based off what you can hear, not necessarily what you can see, I would like you to react to both of these, but we'll let you listen to both of them before we get your reaction. Here's the first one.
Life is about balance. When you achieve balance, the impossible becomes possible. Pick me, grasshopper.
All right, that's one. That's one. And then here's the next one.
Oh, yes.
It's really only 2:59. They hate it when I do this. Check it out.
Oh, young buck. So bad.
It's time to pick me. It's your move.
Oh, it's your move. Yeah.
Those are the best. Those were such good fantasy football commercials.
The Fantasy File commercials were an awesome part of my childhood. What do you think would be more impressive if you could actually kick the ball up to yourself from 60 yards away and then drill it down the middle, or hitting the church bell three times in a row?
Not a church bell. That was the courthouse in Green Bay. A lot of people don't even realize it.
Okay. Yeah. Even more so.
There you go.
Which is more challenging? I would say definitely hitting the bell for sure. Absolutely. Because you got to be more accurate with it. Look, people started making, you know, these videos like, oh, what Akers did isn't hard. I was like, yeah, it's not hard. And yeah, it didn't go 60 yards. But what was funny, and I don't know how you all came up with your storyline, Mason, but
they
kind of took us out to this field, and they had a couple ideas, and literally I had a couple balls in my hand. I kicked up the ball, you know, just hit it off my foot like most of us have, you know, a way of getting the extra football up in the air. And they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. I said, well, I guess I could just hit this and hit it out of the air if you want to try something like that.
Just try it out. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, we just did it, and they're like, oh, my gosh. And then, of course, and they, you know, make it look like you just hit it from 60 yards. But yeah, like, it wasn't that difficult. I think people like yourself could go out there today and do it. So they just made it look really good with editing.
Hey, love it. Yeah, I love that. Awesome. Those always get, like, re-released in, like, right before the season. Like, I don't know if there's an email chain or how it goes, but, like, I'll get a text before every year, and they're just like, oh, my gosh, just saw this Fantasy Files from back in the day. I mean, that was, what, 2008, I believe?
It says 17 years ago on the YouTube video.
So that'd be
08.
That was my second year in the NFL, and yeah, those were great. I mean, they had so many awesome ones. Guys diving through cars.
The Chris Cooley where he punches through the
wall.
Yeah, that's the best one.
The Calvin Johnson with the jugs machine, right? And like the stuff.
Right, right.
So those were great. So, oh, what a throwback. Thanks, Tommy. I appreciate you bringing
Nicely
that
done,
up.
Tommy.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right, David. We're going to let you go, but I do.
Does he have a prediction?
I want to hear your prediction. Yeah. I want to hear how you think this game's going to go this weekend.
Well, look, the way with Jalen looking like he's going to be back in, but obviously not playing for a couple of weeks, the Eagles have had a notorious issue of starting off the game slow, right? So if you're looking at the Packers, you got to kind of get to the Eagles quickly because they kind of are like a locomotive train. They kind of build up steam and keep going through the fourth quarter. But for me, I think it's going to be still a relatively high-scoring game for the Birds, and unfortunately not so much for the Packers coming in against the defense that the Eagles have been doing. Vic Fangio was a DC when I was in San Francisco. I think he's a phenomenal coach, and he's kind of gotten his guys doing it. I mean, obviously the Eagles have great personnel, but the way he's been able to kind of get them to work together – linebacker play has kind of been our nemesis over the last several years, since even Jeremiah Trotter when I played. But watching Bond out there this year, just being a menace, not to mention the D-line, what they've been able to do in secondary with Cooper DeJean and Quinion. So, like, and Slay, he's the old hat out there. So all that kind of playing into where I'm thinking, I still think it's like, I think it's about a 10-point difference. I think probably 24, 14, something like Birds.
Ooh, all right. Okay. Gauntlet's been thrown, Mace.
There it is. All right. Well, hey, David, I really appreciate jumping on. Keep doing your thing.
You're going to leave me like this,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, you want to give me? Okay, yeah. I think it's going to be here's my thing. Is like it all depends on how this Packers team comes out. If they start slow, this game could get out of hand. Like I've said, if they don't just go out, kind of try to be dynamic on offense, do some, take some risks, do some big things, this defense will just, break them down over time and don't want this to be a close game. So I see it similar. I kind of my thought right at the moment is Eagles win this 24-21. So I think it's gonna be a tight game. I have a hard time picking against my Packers, but
yeah, you do.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they're up to the level of the Eagles at the moment, especially how they've played these last two games.
Interesting. Love it. Love talking with you guys. Love seeing how, guys after the league, what they're going and doing. Welcome to the Nashville area, and congratulations on such an incredible career, bro. It's been fun to watch you, way you hold yourself on the field, held yourself on the field and off the field. Inspiration to many. So thanks for being a good ambassador to the league.
Awesome, man. I feel the same about you. It's great. Sometimes I saw Akers and his son and Dick Sporting Goods, before the season. We were getting shoulder pads or stuff for football for our boys.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Running to him occasionally. But yeah, appreciate you, man. I feel like the same about you. You are always such a good role model for me as I got started in my career. So keep doing your thing. Keep water skiing. You'll let everyone know when you're going snow skiing. But I appreciate you. And
get troll.
Ready for snowpocalypse this weekend. Get your stuff. Go to the store. Get stocked up because we
bread,
might have to
water,
hold up for a few
milk,
days.
All the canned goods. Get it all.
And that's eggs. Right. And eggs.
And eggs. That's right. Yep.
Everyone needs eggs for some reason. When the weather gets bad.
Love it, love it. You guys have a great one. Hopefully you have a good game to watch this weekend.
Oh, for sure. Talk to you later.
Thanks, David.
Later, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, that's David Akers joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Always fun to hear kicker stories. And, we didn't get so into, like, does he have hate for the Packers or anything like that? Because there was a rivalry back then. But yeah. I don't think kickers get into hate too much.
No, there's not a, there's some teams that I really, dislike, but.
As you should.
I think there's stadiums, there's moments, like we're kind of out there one-on-one with, the elements and, the fields and all of that. So probably a different mindset kind of than some guys. And those rivalries have changed over time, right? Like it's just like guys go to different free agency kind of mm-hmm. changed a lot of that. Obviously with Reggie White and like how, that story goes. Once free agency happened, I think some of those rivalries still hold true, like for the organizations, but player wise, it's not always the same.
All right, Longwell yesterday, Akers today, Vinatieri tomorrow. Like, let's go. Yeah,
let's keep it rolling.
Kicker.
We'll have him on whenever the Patriots decide who their next head coach is.
Exactly. I think that makes sense. Again, our thanks to David Akers for jumping on and fun to hear the stories and some of those non fun rivalry. Memories, but we are ready to move into the future. We are ready to look ahead to Sunday. We are ready to create new memories and
new
hopefully
memories.
Positive memories Fresh. When it comes to this Packers-Eagles rivalry. So we'll ask you, the fan, does being a seventh seed last year help the Packers going into this game at all? Does it have an impact that they did make the playoffs? And yes, they were 9-8 last year, but they surprised some people by making the playoffs. And so does that experience help them this year going into the playoffs again, as they will be doing Sunday in Philadelphia? He's Mason Crosby. My name's Mitch Ellis, a.k.a. Thunder. It's the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. More Packers talk coming up.
Oh, yeah.